content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book Month by Month Gardening in the Carolinas by Bob Polomsky. And we left off the last podcast with April and plans, and for bulbs, how to plan your bulbs. So we start with evaluate your spring flowering bulbs. Note in your gardening journal which bulbs and cultivars met or exceeded your expectations. If any look disappointing, make plans to replace them or give them another year or two to settle in. Also include remarks about the growing environment and culture. Were winter and spring unseasonably warm or mild? Were there unexpected freezing temperatures? Did you fertilize the bulbs last fall with a slow or fast release fertilizer? When was the last time you tested the soil for pH and fertility levels? It is ideal to have soil tested by your cooperative extension service every 3 years. And plan for your edibles. Summer is around the corner. Plan to water your herbs and vegetables efficiently when hot weather arrives. Take a look at the irrigation methods described in our previous in our previous podcasts and select an appropriate one for your garden. And for lawns, write in your journal when you fertilized the lawn and the amount you applied. Document insect disease or weed problems and pesticide applications. Include your soil test report. Your journal can become a teaching tool, especially when you need the assistance of a lawn service company or county extension agent to help you diagnose a problem. For perennials, some perennials become top-heavy and require support to prevent them from bending or toppling over. They include delphinium, boltonia, agora, peonies, sneezeweed, balloon flower, and cultivar's root. Plan to support these plants early in their growth before they get too tall and floppy. There are a wide variety of materials to use, such as specially designed peony rings, tomato cages, and plastic or bamboo stakes. Position the stakes so the plants will eventually hide the supports, and when securing their stems, tie the soft twine into a figure eight to avoid binding a stem. To avoid staking some perennials altogether, select compact, lower-growing cultivars or prune them by pinching or cutting back at least 8 weeks before flowering to keep their height in check. And for roses, if you're serious about growing roses, document your observations, thoughts, and plans for the future. Some of the following items can be noted. Bloom dates for each variety. Condition of the flowers, leaves, and overall health. pest problems such as insects, diseases, and weeds, pesticides used and when they were applied, plants that need to be moved or replaced because they turned out to be a lot of care, Roses. The notes you take about weather conditions, fertilizing, watering, and pest control applications are important clues. And now for shrubs. Look for shrubs that bear edible fruits like figs, pomegranate, and pineapple guava. My favorite shrub for year-round beauty is the blueberry with creamy white or pink flowers in spring, deep blue fruit in summer, red, orange, and yellow fall color, and rosy pink stems in winter. Rabbit eye and southern high bush blueberries can be grown in the Piedmont and dry, sandy soils of the coastal plain. Only the high bush blueberry can be cultivated in the mountains because it can survive cold winter temperatures of 10 degrees Fahrenheit and lower. Blueberries are acid-loving shrubs that can be grown like azaleas and rhododendrons. Use them in borders and hedges. For highest yields, plant at least two varieties of rabbit eyes that bloom at the same time, and cross-pollination will occur. And for trees, variety is the spice of life, which also applies to the landscape. Find time to increase your tree vocabulary by learning about a few trees this month. Research Native American trees that were growing in North America when the Europeans first arrived and are still in our states. This is proof of their longevity and ability to adapt to our Carolina climate, soils, and pests. Visit parks and preserves to see native plants in their natural habitats. Undisturbed areas near your home may also give you some ideas. See what grows well in your region. Take photographs of the plants and show them to knowledgeable people to help you identify them. Or use a good field guide with color photos. Visit your local library and bookstores to find reference books on native trees. Become a member of a local native plant society. The members often swap plants and seeds and are knowledgeable about what grows best in your area. When you have found some favorites, avoid the urge to dig up native plants from the wild. There are ethical, legal, and scientific consequences to this practice. It's better to purchase nursery-propagated natives from nurseries or garden centers. Vines and ground cover. Take pictures of various views to see where vines and ground covers can be used to bring color to otherwise nondescript areas. Use variegated plants to add the illusion of light to a dark area. Shade-loving ground covers such as hosta, ivy, variegated liriop, and winter creeper euonymus can be suitable choices. Take a look at the color of your home, fences, and paving to see if any ground cover can be used to unite and harmonize these features with the landscape. and that water gardens is next. Know someone who's apprehensive about an in-ground pond? Consider water gardening in a container. Anything that holds water and does not have a toxic lining can be used. Containers can vary from plastic to concrete to ceramic to wooden barrels with plastic liners. Any of the plants used in water gardening in pools or ponds can be grown in a container. Keep in mind, however, the mature size of the plant. The plants can be grown in individual pots, and the pots staged atop bricks or other supports so that their rims are at an appropriate level. You have a wide variety of plants to choose from. Here are some of my favorites. The first group of plants are those that are happy with wet feet, but whose crowns can stick above the surface of the water, like striped giant reeds, elephant ears, and giant taro. The next group of plants are those that like their crowns to be level with the water surface. These include yellow-flowered water canna, dwarf papyrus, and hibiscus moschetos, Blue River 2. And third, there are plants whose crowns should always be covered by several inches of water, like cultivars of lotus, and parrot's feather. Pot the plant in a clay-based soil topped with a layer of gravel to prevent the soil from washing into the water. Put the container on rollers before planting so you can move it around easily. And the next topic is plants. The annuals. Start hanging baskets early in April. Impatiens and begonias do well in shade. For sunny locations, try dwarf marigolds, petunias, scaevolas, verbenas, and annual vincas. Portulaca is wonderful in baskets as it tolerates hot sun and drought. For a bushier basket planting, keep the plant tips pinched. Start pots for your patio or porch. 2 weeks before the last frost, plant cleome seeds and gloriosa daisy. 2 or 3 weeks after the last freeze, when the soil temperatures have warmed, Cosmo gomphirina, marigold, portulaca, sunflowers, zinnia, and other warm season annuals can be sown directly into the beds where they are to grow. Keep the seeded area moist until the seeds emerge. Thin out as soon as they are large enough to transplant. Any extras can be transplanted to other areas. Excuse me. And bulbs. Summer flowering bulbs such as crocosmia, dahlias, and lily can be planted after the threat of freezing temperatures has passed. Mountain gardeners can wait until next month to plant. In the warmer parts of the Carolinas, dig, divide, and replant cannas and dahlias. The best time to do this is after the eyes have sprouted, but before they have grown more than an inch. Each tuber should have a short piece of old stem attached. discard those that show signs of growth. Dust the newly cut surfaces with a fungicide before putting them in the ground. Stake dahlia tubers at planting so you can insert the stakes without skewering the tuber. Plant gladiolas, corms, every 2 weeks until July to create a continuous succession of flowers. Plant the corms at least 4 inches deep to stabilize them as they produce their long flower stalks. You can also mound soil around the base to avoid having to stake them. Avoid planting caladium tubers too early in the spring because they can rot. The soil temperature must be above 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Plant the tubers shallowly, only an inch or two deep. Because roots and shoots emerge from the top, place it knobby side up. Bulbs forced indoors that have finished flowering can be moved outdoors. Cut off the faded flowers and transplant bulbs into the garden. Wait until the last freeze before transplanting Easter lilies outdoors in a well-drained location. Space the plants 12 to 18 inches apart. Because lilies like their feet in the shade and their heads in the sun, mulch with a 2-inch layer of compost, pine straw, or shredded leaves. As the leaves and stems of the original shoots die back, prune them off. New growth will soon emerge, sometimes producing a second round of flowers. Easter lilies, which were forced to flower under controlled greenhouse conditions in March or April, will flower naturally in May or June. In addition, you will get a taller plant, one that grows to a height of 3 feet or more. When the bulbs go dormant, as signaled by the yellowing, dying leaves, dig up and transplant red spider lilies and magic lilies or naked lilies immediately. Plant them shallow with their necks at the point where the leaves emerge and the tunic ends, just sticking out of the ground. Planting too shallow is better than planting too deep because the bulbs possess contractile roots that will pull the bulb down into the soil until it is the right depth. When planted too deep, Lycoris will spend a few non-flowering years producing a completely new bulb. And for edibles, after the last expected freeze, set out the transplants of herbs you started indoors. Mountain gardeners can divide chives, thyme, mint, and tarragon when new growth emerges. A simple way of propagating rosemary and thyme is by layering. In the coastal plain and Piedmont, after the last freeze, sow beans, corn, cucumbers, and southern peas. Avoid planting okra seeds too early. The soil temperature should be above 75 degrees Fahrenheit. Soak okra seed overnight before planting in the garden. Set out transplants of eggplant and muskmelon, watermelon, peppers, summer squash, New Zealand spinach and zucchini after the last expected freeze, when the nights are continuously above 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Plant determinate bush-type tomatoes for canning or preserving, so the fruit will ripen all at once, all within a week or two of each other. For vine-ripened tomatoes, plant indeterminate tomatoes that have an extended fruiting period. They vine, flower, and fruit all the way up to the first frost. Without protection, you can plant tomatoes 1 to 2 weeks after the last expected freeze. Plant transplants either on their side in a shallow trench with only the topmost leaves showing, or dig a deep hole with a shovel or post hole digger to set the transplants straight down. In the Piedmont and mountains, make another planting of beets, broccoli, cabbage, carrots, potatoes, and radishes. And for lawns, for warm season lawns, repair bare patches or replant large areas using seed or sprigs when the average daytime temperatures stay above 60 degrees Fahrenheit. If the lawn is overrun with weeds or is beyond simple patching, renovate this month or in May. Renovation is the step you should take before having to completely overhaul the lawn. Figure out how your lawn spiraled into decline, then follow these steps. For cool season lawns, if you can justify the expense, install tall fescue or Kentucky bluegrass sod. They'll need plenty of water to help it through the summer. If you want a green lawn without sodding, sow seed as early in the month as possible. Mulch with weed-free straw and keep the seed bed moist for a few weeks to speed up establishment. Getting your lawn through the summer will be a challenge. If you can delay seeding until fall, then wait. And for perennials and ornamental grasses, condition or harden off the seedlings started indoors. Gradually expose them to outdoor conditions by moving them to a cold frame or a porch for at least a week before planting in the garden. When planting ornamental grasses, follow this general rule of spacing. Place plants as far apart as their eventual height. This means that grasses that top out at 3 feet should be planted 3 feet apart from center to center. Plant container-grown perennials now. And for roses, when planting climbing roses next to a wall, place them at least 2 feet away from it. Plant potted roses when the soil is dry enough to be worked. For shrubs and trees, continue planting container-grown shrubs following the how-to instructions. Pay strict attention to watering to help them get established. It's not too late to plant container-grown and bald and burlap trees. Pay careful attention to watering during their establishment phase and don't let them dry out. For vines and ground covers, in the mountains, sow seeds of tender summer flowering annual vines in pots this month, so they'll be large enough to move outdoors after the last freeze. Gardeners in the milder parts of the Carolinas can direct sow the seeds to the garden after the last expected freeze, and they will have flowering in midsummer to fall. Some seeds require special treatment prior to sowing to encourage germination. The seeds of morning glories and moonflower should be nicked with a knife or file and then soaked overnight to allow water to be absorbed by the seed for germination to occur. And for water gardens, hardy water lilies and lotuses that have spent the winter in the deeper parts of your pool to protect their roots from freezing need to be returned to shallower depths when the ice has melted completely. Hardy water lilies are sold dormant and bare root or non-dormant with a few leaves, roots, and perhaps buds. It's important that you prevent the rhizome from drying out. Put the lily in a bowl of water before planting. Divide your bog plants just before or as new growth is emerging. Rhizomes, such as those of striped rush, can be divided into sections with shoots and roots. Fibrous-rooted plants, such as pickerel rush, can be teased apart into separate plants. Keep these marginal plants confined to containers like a nursery pot, which makes fertilizing and future dividing easier. Use the same heavy clay soil used for planting water lilies and other floating-leaved plants. And we have come to the end of today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Excuse me, that number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. And we hope you'll join us next time for our next title, and it'll be the care of all of our gardening products. Thank you.